Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Veterans Day. A few minutes past 3 p.m., attorney Brad Young joins us. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Well, thanks for ditching us for your birthday with your wife the other day.
Well, sorry, you know, I had to pick between the two of you.
Yeah, it always comes down to that, I see. What'd you do? Anything fun?
Well, we went to Herman. Went to Herman, Missouri. Stayed in a bed and breakfast, drank a lot of wine.
Nice.
And that's always a good time. Also, I almost didn't have time today because I was out deposing your buddy, Corey Solman, who's a great guy, by the way.
Yeah.
And I said, Corey, we got to get done with this depo by 3 because I'm on with Glover.
That's
so
awesome.
He accommodated me.
That's great. I love that. Okay, so we have Brad on. Brad is a longtime KMOX guy. You hear him down in 97.1 a lot, fills in for Reardon and such. And he has two hats. There's many hats, but two great ones. One is as an attorney, analyzing cases, usually out of the Supreme Court, and then politics. Brad is a strong conservative, but very rational. And I want to start there, Brad. Donald Trump did a very interesting interview last night with Laura Ingraham, and he said a couple of things I want to run by you. When it comes to financial anxiety, he said, and I'm quoting here, that the whole thing is one big Democratic con job, that the Democrats put out fake prices to CNN and MSNBC and NBC and CBS and all the usual suspects, and then they just feed America crap. And then Laura Ingraham followed up with, well, what about citizens? The polls are saying that they're feeling a lot of financial anxiety from prices, and he said, any word of widespread financial anxiety is quote-unquote fake. So my question to you is, do you think that he truly believes this, or is it just his defense mechanism?
Wow. What a great question. I would never, and this is not something you normally get from a pundit. I would never presume to know what Donald Trump is thinking on any subject. I really wouldn't. Clearly, what he just said and what you quoted is verifiably and objectively wrong. Prices are up. Inflation is up. Now, the rate of inflation has gone down since we got past COVID and since we got past all of the government funding through the Biden administration. The rate of inflation has gone down, but inflation's still going up, and it's going up faster than people's incomes. So that is hard for folks who are on fixed incomes. It's hard for folks who are on low incomes, and to say otherwise is demonstrably and objectively false. Now on whether how he responds, and I did read some excerpts from that interview, and Megyn Kelly was really, or not Megyn Kelly, it was the Fox reporter was really tough on him and was holding his feet to the fire on a lot of things, which I thought was good. But in this instance, he's just wrong. And I don't know if he's thinking, if he admits that, then that is a chink in his armor, or whether he really, as a billionaire, as most billionaires are, to them, $1 million is beer money. So do they not understand that egg prices are really still a problem, that beef prices are skyrocketing? I bought a brisket to cook on my pellet grill the other day, and the brisket was like $60 for a brisket. Like, oh my goodness. So yeah, it's high, but I don't know if he understands it or whether he doesn't want to admit that anything he's doing is other than spectacular.
So next topic, let's talk about the shutdown, and you go back as far as you want and take it forward as long as you want. I find it a fascinating topic.
Well, it is a fascinating topic, and really it was a moot topic because and you have to understand where Washington is coming from. To them, everything is a football game, meaning if I gain 5 yards, then my opponent loses 5 yards. So let's have a shutdown and see if we can blame the other party. The problem with that logic and that approach, that strategy, is that real people get hurt. SNAP benefits get cut. Air traffic controllers lose their paychecks. Real people are suffering, all to make political gains. Now, I could tell you my thoughts on who I think is responsible for the shutdown, but the bottom line is it didn't really solve anything. I mean, the only thing that the Democrats got from the shutdown, Tim Kaine announced it last night, was that he obtained a promise from the White House that those who were fired during the shutdown, it's called a reduction in force, RIF, that those people would be rehired. Well, if there was no shutdown, they wouldn't have been fired to begin with.
Yeah.
So literally, it gained nothing other than political drama and an attempt to get a gotcha on the other party, whichever way you want to go. And to me, it just shows you the sad state of politics in 2026.
Yeah, we've been through a lot of shutdowns together, but this one feels different. And I think they're only funding the government through January, end of January. I think if we get the next time we get to this point, if it's within the next 12 months or so, I think people are going to be reacting very differently to it.
That's true. But you see, that doesn't prevent it from happening, Dave, because in political groupthink, if we have another shutdown and we can blame it on the other party, then we gain an advantage. All right. So that's the thought that goes into the process. We could easily have another shutdown in January and in an attempt to try to make sure that the other side gets blamed. Well, that's just preposterous. It's a problem. All Americans, if you took a poll, the numbers would be 80% that we want our politicians to work together to solve problems. That's common sense politics, and yet it's just not common in Washington.
If you guys are just tuning in, we're talking to attorney Brad Young. He's with us a couple times per week. Supreme Court declines to hear a case on constitutionality of same-sex marriage.
Yeah, I actually mentioned this case a few weeks ago because this was being what's called certiorari was requested from the Supreme Court on whether to revisit the whole issue of whether gay marriage is constitutional. The landmark case on that case was called Obergefell from 2015. It established that gay marriage is not only legal, but that states have to recognize it. And we briefly mentioned a few weeks ago, and I said, I really don't see the Supreme Court revisiting this issue. And they decided this week that they're not. Now, I know there's some valid legal reasons to maybe go back and look at Obergefell, but they're very, very minor. It's not like the issue with the abortion, which even liberal legal scholars admitted was a terrible decision legally. There were a lot of reasons to go back and look at the Roe versus Wade. There's just not a lot of issues or reasons to go back and look at Obergefell. And I don't see the Supreme Court touching this issue in the near future.
And another, what do you think, Brad, question. Justice Thomas was the only one who wanted to hear the case. And in a case like Justice Thomas, who we know is probably, along with Alito, the most conservative of the justices, your gut, is it because of his strong belief in the judiciary system and that the underpinnings of logic were wrong? Or do you think it's more he doesn't think gay people should be married?
Boy, again, I don't know what he's thinking. I can tell you this, though. If you look at all of the decisions regarding the Second Amendment that came down, going back to Heller in 2008, that those decisions are rooted in what's called the traditions of our country. And one can make the argument, and when I say one, I mean Justice Thomas, could make the argument that the understanding of gay marriage is not rooted in our country's traditions. So he might have a legal argument, but it's a chicken and egg issue, because does he have the legal argument because he just doesn't like gay marriage, or does he not like gay marriage because of the legal argument? I mean, that's a dog chasing its tail, and I don't know where one ends and the other begins.
Do we have any examples of that, Brad, where it's been tested against the, because we know that what was the term, the values of our country or the norms, whatever it was, those have changed a lot since the country was founded. And how far do we go back to decide what that norm is? Has that been addressed?
No, it really hasn't, Wheels. And I'll tell you what, the reason why legally I think that we have to have gay marriage allowed, not that I'm in favor of it, but the reason why legally I think it should is because of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. Because once one state, let's say, for example, Massachusetts says we're going to recognize gay marriage, then under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, every state has to recognize that. And so once you're to that point, it's now de facto legal nationwide. I don't really see a legal chink in that armor. I don't see how you could pierce that legal reality. So I just don't see that there's a big issue with the court about going back and revisiting Obergefell and gay marriage. And again, other than Thomas, nobody else is really pushing for it. I don't see it happening.
So final case to discuss here, Brad. Man harassed St. Charles cop. Jury says the posts were not free speech.
Yeah, and this is a good one to talk about because there's nothing better than free speech. But what happened in this St. County situation was that there was one guy, a bit of a crackpot. He didn't like a police officer, and so he just stalked him. He went out and was carrying signs against him. He had websites that were castigating this guy. This guy kind of went overboard, and so he was arrested and charged with harassment. He was also charged with stalking and making threats, and the jury convicted him. And his defense was, hey, it's all free speech. I never made any actual threats that I was going to hurt him or harm him in any way. So how can I be convicted of harassment of a government official or at least a government employee, a police officer, who has a lesser First Amendment protections? How can I be convicted of that? He was, and I don't see this conviction standing on appeal.
Okay. All right, Brad, you're the best. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, guys.
/321 DGS. You want to hear a list of celebrities that nobody hates?
Oh,
I'll be the judge.
I bet I hate him.
I was the judge on this. Macaulay Culkin.
Hate him.
Mark Ruffalo.
Hate him.
I think a lot of people hate him.
Everyone on the right hates him.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal.
I think there are a lot of people that are sick of him.
Sick of him.
He's good. I like him. But does he have to be in everything?
Overexposed.
Tom Hanks. I can't stand Tom Hanks.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's a fraud.
Do you really?
I do.
Well, you think he's a fraud?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, let's drill down on that a little bit.
Like, nicest guy in the world, nicest guy. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. What's the evidence that he's not?
So you think he's not?
No, okay. Just vibes.
You think he's just making, it's a front.
Yep. Dick Van Dyke.
I think that's probably correct.
Everyone loves him.
Bob Ross.
Nah.
Sure.
Hate that guy.
Harrison Ford.
Love Harrison.
He's a jerk.
Can't stand him.
He's not. He's not a jerk. He's really hot.
You just have exactly. He's not a jerk. He's really hot.
Yeah.
You just have a crush on him, but you're not even him now. Him.
Well, obviously
50 years
not
ago.
Him now.
Look, I'm so tired of listening to the two of you fight over Harrison Ford. Paul Rudd, and the number one person nobody hates, Mr. Rogers.
Oh.
Well, Dave, don't you hate Mr. Rogers?
No, I don't hate him. I made the mistake one time early in my career by saying he always seemed a little weird to me.
Mm-hmm. And that came back at you?
People weren't happy about it.
Okay.
Yeah. They weren't as mad. Two other times made people more angry.
Uh-huh.
Once when I took my mom to the doctor after she fell and broke her neck, and we waited 2.5 hours to see the doctor, and I went off. And doctors came out of the woodwork, and they're like, listen, you little piece of crap. Here's why you have to wait so long. Because you are stupid, and you will book an appointment with me saying that you have the flu, but then you'll come in and you'll say, I think I have an ingrown toenail. And so then I have to take care of that. They were really super mean, but the meanest ever.
Your mom broke her neck.
Yes.
That's not like calling in for the flu. How are you comparing those things?
Yeah, I don't know.
Am I going to get yelled at now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hope so. The maddest ever were the pumpkin farmers. When I took the kids to a pumpkin patch And the pumpkins were like $18 or something. I'm like, wow, I've raised pumpkins myself, and they come from seeds. Woof. Pumpkin farmers were very angry. Like, you have any idea how much waste we have and how many pumpkins we give away? And
I did not.
Yeah, that's true. You did have no idea.
Yeah, well, maybe they should sell them for cheaper.
And also, does that invalidate your original point? It's just a matter of whether or not anyone has the desire to spend the time doing it themselves.
There you go. A man started shooting after a heated chicken egg argument.
What?
A 44-year-old man in Florida was arrested after opening fire on three others after an argument outside a bar, started inside the bar, got physical outside the bar over how many eggs a chicken can lay in a day.
All right.
Wait, I have something for this. What came first, the egg or the chicken? Come on now. Come on now.
Just going to let you own that one for a little bit.
See, this is why, I mean, I believe in the right to bear arms, but certain people, they shouldn't.
Right.
Just the fact, it's like, well, I'll settle this with my gun. Like, no, it's not that big of a deal. You should just go home.
And hear me on this one. I know you can't do this. I know it's not legal or right, but I've been to many gun stores. If I'm working at the gun store, I feel like I can pretty much look at you and go, not today.
You got to think, right? You got to think that, like, there's an eyeball test you can pass or fail.
Oh.
Which did come first, by the way?
What's that?
The chicken or the egg?
The egg.
Yeah. Good answer.
Thank you.
Rachel, it's true.
You were talking about CBS and Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss is getting rid of CBS standards and practices, which are the fact checkers. And she says that she thinks that standards and practices for decades have held too much power, and they're just simply not needed in today's media.
Why?
I guess.
Did she give a why?
She has an axe to grind against.
Oh, because people were mean to her. Now she's got to be the wrecker of all things.
Well, look, I don't really know much about Barry Weiss. I know she's extremely controversial, but I don't know her whole story. I do know she's never run a newsroom, much less a news organization. And now CBS has given her like basically unbridled power. And she's using that power to do things like this.
It's just
a bit confusing.
I would love to hear the real detailed explanation for why you think fact checkers are less necessary now. They're more necessary now than ever because there's so much bad information out there.
Because you are the person getting fact checked. If you're the person getting fact checked, you get real upset at a fact checker real fast.
I mean, you just don't come across as a serious person saying that. Forget, I don't even know what her politics are. What does she have any? Is she known being left or right? I have no idea.
Positions herself as a liberal, uncomfortable with the excesses of left-wing culture. So like an anti-woke liberal.
But anybody who is in news, and she came up in journalism. If you come up in journalism and you think fact-checking is unnecessary, you're an idiot. That is the dumbest thing I've heard somebody say about an area they should know. Well, a lot of people say dumb things about things they don't know. She came up a journalist. She should know how much it matters to fact check.
From what I understand, she wasn't necessarily a journalist. She was more of an op-ed writer. So it's like she's just always been Barry Weiss. She didn't.
She had to have a beginning somehow, right?
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to figure it out myself.
I just find it crazy, a little odd that CBS is like, yes, let's turn our entire like news future over to this person who is writing op-eds for the New York Times. Like, I don't understand how that's a person with enough experience to be at the helm of this major media.
Andrew, company. You know what Barry Weiss does not like? Fact.
Beautiful.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
GS 332, happy Tuesday, happy Veterans Day, happy Hardee's Operation Food Search Day, and from the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk, happy birthday to Dave Murray.
Yay!
Yay, Dave!
David. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
What you doing today?
Nothing.
Nothing? No biggies?
I actually took a little nap.
Oh, good for you.
That's a good birthday day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Dave, how's your shoulder doing?
It's better. It gets better every week, but I can't. Saw my orthopedic guy last week, and I said, I haven't tried swinging a golf club yet. And he goes, you do not do that until the end of December, period, period. I'm trying to keep it moving and stuff, but it lets you know.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. But I am able to sleep for a while on my right side, which I haven't been able to do for about a month and a half.
Man. Is this your worst injury ever?
Yeah, probably. It's the longest lasting injury anyway.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just it's a pain. It's a pain not only in the shoulder, but somewhere else too.
Yeah, I bet. So 57 today, beautiful day out there.
Yeah, you know, it's back. This is about where we should be this time of year. There's a fair amount of clouds around. They'll stay with us tonight. But this is the start. This is the kind of the transition day to back above average temperatures that will take us right through the weekend. 65 for the high tomorrow. Now, it's going to be a little nippy going out the door in the morning. It's that time of year. 39 tomorrow night, 65 on Thursday. Friday, sunny skies, 75 on Friday. The record is 81 from 1971. It's close, but I don't think we hit a record. Saturday, sunny, 78 degrees, the record on Saturday. Also 81 and also from 1971. That's going to be a close call. Couple of showers. Yesterday, it looked like a fairly decent rain coming in on Sunday. Looks a little iffy right now. There's not going to be a link between a front and a southwest low pressure system, but there will be showers around on Sunday. And 69, still above average temperatures, even with clouds and showers around. So a great, great stretch of weather. Also, winter forecast, we have iced the date.
Okay.
It is November 19th.
Beautiful.
At 3:30.
Excellent.
So a week from tomorrow.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Ice the date. Get out of here.
You get it? All right, Andrew, I'm proud of you.
Ice the date.
That one escaped me.
I don't want to think about ice, Dave.
I know.
I do enjoy the TikToks from like Iowa and Colorado and Chicago, even where they're getting their first snows.
Oh, and the lake effect snows have started up.
Yeah.
Ugh. You know, and frozen cars and frozen trees from the water spraying on them from the lakes.
Yeah.
Very cool. Cool stuff.
Wheels, what was that like? Did you get that where you lived? Or were you too far from the lake?
Oh, we were right near. Which side? Because in Michigan, we were on the eastern part of the state, so you would get lake effect that could blow across the state from Lake Michigan, but you would also get some swirling around on the eastern side too. And in Chicago, we were literally 15 minutes from Lake Michigan where we lived.
How were the winters there?
Sucky. They were horrible. Yeah, it was awful. I mean, I was used to it because I did it so much. As a kid, I didn't think it was terrible. We just thought it was fun because snow meant snow days. But it was not fun in Chicago. It was terrible.
I have a buddy who lives in Chicago. We actually met on Maui long, long time ago. Why he still lives there, I don't know. But he is just miserable. In January, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's brutal. You get about 3 months where every day you're just like, come on, not today again.
I played hooky from my law firm and interviewed at Jenner and Block in Chicago. And they were in the loop, and it was winter, and I don't think I had been to Chicago yet. And I got out of the cab, and I remember thinking, even if they offer me this job, I don't think I'm going to take it. Like, it was just that cold, that brutal.
Yeah.
My dream, though, when I got into radio, was to move to Chicago and live in the Hancock Tower.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the radio stations were.
Yeah.
And not come out, right?
Just that was the place I made my first ever appearance on a professional radio station.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they did a call out. The morning show at the time was the Kevin Matthews show. And he was right before Danny Bonaducci. Like, that was their, you know, morning to midday. It was
Kevin Matthews was great.
It was a huge show at that time. And they did a call out for, like, people who want to get into radio. And Susan heard it because she listened to him in the morning. And she's like, I signed you up. You're going next week. And I did it. And they let me do, like, a couple minute sports cast.
That's cool.
And interact with the guys a little bit. It was pretty fun.
That's really cool.
It was pretty fun. They made fun of my voice.
Just because it was so deep?
As soon as I started talking, Kevin Matthews goes, oh, look at the guy with the big voice. I'm like, I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say.
How, I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm also not looking to get crushed.
You've come to the wrong place.
He's got his shield up and his sword ready.
How does this show compare to what Matthews and Steve Dahl used to do back in the day?
So, and keep in mind, you're on thin ice.
Yeah. No, it's a similar... In that it can be a little bit of everything. They say, like, the morning show with, like, Kevin Matthews, that was more, like, silly goofball stuff. Like, they didn't do serious stuff at all. And, I mean, never. Where it's probably a little closer to Steve Dahl, where there was a little bit of everything kind of mix. I didn't listen to Steve Dahl that much. I did listen to Kevin quite a bit in the mornings when I was up. And his was more like... it wasn't as rowdy as like Howard Stern, but it was more like they was just like constantly about funny. It was a comedy show. It was not about like anything at all serious. So if you only took the funny stuff we do, that's similar to what they do.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Former President Barack Obama surprised veterans of the Korean and Vietnam Wars by boarding an honor flight that had just arrived in Washington, D.C. So he greeted all the veterans and their families and expressed his gratitude for their sacrifices and gave them a presidential challenge coin. The veterans were visibly moved by the gesture, and one Army veteran cried tears of joy at the reception.
That's very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's neat.
The honor flight is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Senator John Fetterman admits no one really knows who's running the Democratic Party. And he also denied reports that Chuck Schumer reached out to moderates for a compromise to end the government shutdown. He expressed frustration at the lack of outreach during negotiations and highlighted the importance of unity within the party.
I can't make up my mind about Fetterman.
Yeah, I don't have a hate or love for him, but that's a very odd thing to, like, you're saying we need more unity while you're calling out your people. Like, I'm not saying you should, I think both sides should call themselves out more than they call out the other side, but it's just an odd combo to be like, we need to be more unified, but those guys suck.
Flight cancellations inched up to 6% one day after the Senate passed the bill to end the shutdown. This is happening at 40 high traffic airports in compliance with the FAA mandate amid the shutdown. So as of this morning, more than 1,100 flights had been canceled.
I know that flying and being delayed and canceled... I know it's not going through chemotherapy, but isn't it one of like the worst experiences of modern day human life? Like when we had to do 7 hours on a delayed layover in Charlotte when we're all going to Florida a couple years ago, that's not even that crazy, but it was just hellish. Like
yes,
you're just,
I agree.
Not only are you bored to tears, and especially if you have kids, but you're also like completely out of control. Like, you have no agency. You can bitch and moan all you want, and the person at the gate's either going to help you or they're not.
Mm. Well, they're enacting some new policies at Target. They've unveiled a new 10-4 rule. So it requires employees to act a certain way when they're within 10 feet and 4 feet of a customer. At a distance of 10 feet, Employees are told to make eye contact, smile, wave, or otherwise use their body language to welcome customers in a friendly way.
What does that even mean? Use your body language, like wiggle your shoulders.
And at 4 feet, you must smile and personally greet the customer and offer them assistance.
Yeah, a lot of Target employees have been saying that their bosses are calling it flirty, that they want them to be more flirty with the customer. Take flirty out of it. This is one of these...
Do you even understand customers?
Yeah, this is one of these 61-year-old things where I'm like, you have to teach people this?
Well, also, but I don't want a person every 10 feet going, hey, how you doing, buddy? Like, I'm fine. I know where I'm... Like, if I look confused, ask me.
Be a normal, friendly person.
Yeah, just...
Is it really that tough?
If I talk to you, be friendly. But if I'm just walking, don't accost me.
Smile.
Like, I'm in 4 feet, you're going to got to stop me and introduce yourself and ask me how my day's going. No, you don't. Leave me alone.
Mm.
Yeah. And also, who goes to shop at a store for that? Give me better deals, I'll shop at your store.
Yeah, I mean, people definitely want a good customer service experience, but like you said, Wheels, it's not a Target. I mean, if you go to some high-end department store, like, sure, make eye contact with me. Say hello whenever I walk through the door. Make it seem like you would like that I'm here.
Yeah.
But Target, come on. I'm running in to buy toilet paper. Like, it's not that serious.
Right, and if you see someone who looks confused, well, then yes, please be proactive and go help. And also be friendly at the counter, right? When you're at the checkout, there's nothing more annoying than someone that just doesn't want to look at you or is just going to be, you know, boring and like, yeah, hey, just be nice. That's fine. All that's fine. But like, I don't want to be constantly bothered as I'm walking through your store.
Do you guys find being out in the world that it is noticeably less friendly, or do you think it's pretty much the way it's always been?
It feels kind of the same. I don't notice much difference.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
It's a little different post-COVID, a little, but in general, I think it's similar to what has always been.
Let me try this one out, because I wrote this on my show sheet last night. I am basing this basically on TikTok and media, but it seems to me that there is a pervasive and comprehensive diminishing of joy among people. That's what I perceive. Do you guys agree with that? Do you perceive the same thing? Do you think, we're just making stuff up?
Well, I mean, in regards to when you're shopping, I don't expect...
No, not that.
Okay.
In general, like that people are just struggling and confused and mad at this guy and mad at that guy.
I think everyone's addicted to getting their dopamine hit.
It's a good point.
And when you don't get that, it's hard to deal with. So I think we've replaced like... true moments of human happiness with like this IV drip of dopamine. And it's really hard to cut that off once it starts.
Yeah. Maybe people don't fake it as much as they used to.
Good point too.
Yeah. I like that one.
And there's some currency in being pissy. Right? Like in this day and age, if you complain, a lot of people will listen to you.
Yeah, but you could also end up online as a Karen or a Kevin.
Oh, for sure.
Kevin.
Right.
Yeah.
How much you hate that?
I don't care.
Is it Kevin? I thought it was Chad.
I don't know. Maybe it's a Chad. I don't know. It can be whatever.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great birthday.
Thank you so much, guys. You put the boom boom into my heart.
You send my soul sky high when you love him. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DG Ask, few minutes shy, 4 p.m. We have Michael Butler and Kurt Barr coming in for the think tank in a few minutes. This is really apropos of nothing, but I noted it last night when I'm TikToking, bleep, 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 you know, I have about a 2 second thumb rate and I get a lot of stuff on mental illness since I talk about it so much and I consume that stuff. And last night, just going to show you how callous we are, a lady comes on. She's like, I'm going to tell you the anxiety cure you don't want to hear about. I didn't even hear the word about it. I'm just like, nope.
Why would you not want to hear about a cure?
Me?
Anybody.
Takes too long.
Like she's saying, you don't want to hear about it. Why wouldn't you want to hear about a cure?
Boring.
Probably because
it's talks too much.
There's no real cure.
That's
you
my point.
Just
right.
You have to this and
that's
you just
right.
have to that.
Right.
Oh, dude, you know what I'm sick of? Are the videos where like, I'm going to give you the one solution to all your problems.
Right.
But before I do, here's how I'm qualified. Hi, my name's Angela and I'm a doctor, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, just tell me what it is. Yeah. Why do I have to sit through 30 seconds of you yapping?
So when we went from the... from the written ratings book to the horrible PPMs back in 2009, one thing the experts said was when you get into a segment, just get into it. No preamble, no happy horse crap, no welcome back, no hey, how you guys doing? Bam, you hit the hole and you hit it hard. And that's kind of what that reminds me of. You know, just like...
Yeah, I always thought that was interesting too, like, you sure about that?
Yeah.
Because
and they've changed their mind now.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. If it were an exact, perfect, measurable science, every show would be the same.
But I'm like that with TikTok.
Yeah.
You literally have 1.5 seconds. And if you do anything like, I'm not sure who needs to hear this.
I hate that.
I'm not going to hear it.
I'm not sure who needs to hear this means bye. Because I don't need to if you're saying that. Just say it.
Getting a lot of amputees lately, too. What? I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
What sort of amputee?
Yeah, like what kind of content
arm,
are they making?
Just like, look, here's my stump. Hmm. I have no idea how I get down these rabbit holes. But if you're watching TikTok and suddenly there's a guy showing you his stump, you're not going to not watch for a few seconds. Okay, maybe you would.
Well, sure. I mean... get to learn a little bit about his experience.
What
you
do
know?
You have against the disabled?
It's nothing. It's like it's anything. Like there's like 4 things that show up on my feed on TikTok, and it's
here we go.
Doggy videos, fighting stuff, like real fighters saying don't do this in a fight. It's pranks, people scaring each other, and farts. Yeah, fart jokes. That's basically my whole TikTok.
I have. The other day, he was in there and he was watching a TikTok that was like,
it's like in a fight. Don't
and when
do
they
this.
Move the leg up, make sure that you're putting pressure down because otherwise you're just gonna get knocked off. And yeah. I was like, what are you watching?
Yeah, it's fun.
He's like, fight, Vin.
Is it for preparation?
No, it's just interesting.
Fight?
It's just interesting because I think about how it applies to like other sports. Like, how does that concept apply to baseball?
But amputees are not.
Well, I mean, yeah, if it was anybody talking about those other things, but I don't care who it is. It's great.
What do you mean? If it was anybody.
Like any person is talking. I think if that video popped up and that person was like, watch this, I'm going to scare my wife. I'm watching the video. You know?
Meaning you're not going to discriminate because they're an amputee.
No.
But you want them to do something that
I'm
do.
I'm going
to,
when I get my feed, if it's not what I usually see.
This double amputee better be scaring his wife.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, like, it's just like, I'm like you. You got 1 second. And if it's not one of those things that's going to make me laugh or it's going to, like, you know, teach me how to survive in a fight, I'm just probably going to pass.
What's your least favorite? Mine are the performative charity ones. Like, if you stay for 5 seconds, then blah, blah, blah. Those bother me because, for obvious reasons,
I do get those.
They make me feel super guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because now I know how to play the game a little bit, if I do give you your 5 seconds, I'm going to have to give everyone 5 seconds.
Right.
It's sort of a microcosm for just being charitable.
I just hate the ones where it's like, can you believe I caught myself doing this on camera? When we all know you set it up.
Yeah, you did it on purpose.
We all know that's what's going on.
Yeah, I don't.
My cat
turn
did
off.
This one in a lifetime thing, and I happened to be filming it. Right
I do like a
moment.
Good ass bust.
A what?
A what?
Like people fall on their porches. And
oh
stuff.
Yeah, that's part of the prank thing I get.
That's pretty great.
The doorbell cams.
Yeah,
man,
those are good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.